Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Taking Stock.
I'm Kathleen Hayes along with Pim Fox. Oil, the price is down today after Iran said it's unwilling to freeze output at current levels. It wants to raise production to 4 million barrels a day. This is once again dashing hopes for OPEC to reach a deal to stabilize markets when the group meets tomorrow, Pim. And we have one of Wall Street's top oil and gas analysts coming up to discuss this.
Yes, so we'll be speaking with Fadel Agate, senior analyst at Oppenheimer and Company, get his views and his thoughts about investing in energy. Right now, let's go to Charlie Pellett in the Bloomberg newsroom for Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I thank you very much, Pim Fox. Thank you, Carol Masser. Or thank you, Kathleen Hayes. We have got crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, down 3% right now. More on oil coming up. That's a drop of $1.39 a barrel. $44.55 right now on West Texas Intermediate. Brent also down 3%. $45.96. Natural gas, by the way, down 0.1%. Stocks are shrugging off that drop in oil as a rally in consumer confidence jumps. Also, banking shares are rebounding. Mexico's peso leading emerging markets higher on the perception that presidential nominee Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump in their first debate. But among those watching last night's presidential debate, former UK Chancellor of the Exchequer George Osborne, now a member of Parliament, and he was interviewed this morning on Bloomberg Television.
Well, look, I'm not voting in this election, but I watched that debate last night, and you know, I don't think the answers that Donald Trump put forward on closing America off from the world, erecting trade barriers, are going to help create jobs in America, and I don't think they're good for the world more generally. So we'll let the American people make their own decisions, but that's my economic judgment on what I heard last night on the debate.
People familiar with the matter say most SAB Miller investors voting by proxy supported Anheuser-Busch InBev's $104 billion takeover offer in advance of tomorrow's shareholder meeting, an early indication that the deal will go forward. S&P up 11, a gain of 0.5%. The Dow up 112, a gain of 0.6%. Gold down 1%, dropping $13.80 the ounce. And now at 3:32 on Wall Street, a look at the other stories making news.
Thank you, Charlie. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Jill Schneider. This news update is brought to you by the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. The Grand Cherokee continues to raise the bar with its luxurious interior and legendary 4x4 capability. Drive one at your local Jeep dealer today. Hillary Clinton is winning applause from supporters in North Carolina for her performance in last night's debate. Here's Bloomberg Washington Bureau Chief Megan Murphy.
This is a pretty important win for her in terms of at least stalling his momentum as we had seen this sort of mini surge, particularly in some of the crucial swing states. But the other sort of flip side always with dealing with the Trump candidacy, and this is a good thing for his campaign, is the bar is so low. Now they'll go back to the drawing board. They know they need to get better. They know they need to be more prepared. And maybe he'll be able to turn in a much better performance in the next two debates that will really solidify his candidacy. That's what we're going to be watching for.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says he thinks Donald Trump did a good job against Clinton.
I think he gave a spirited argument, and I think he passed a number of thresholds, which showed that for 90 minutes, he could go toe-to-toe with Hillary Clinton.
Trump is describing the debate as, quote, an interesting evening. Each of the estates of the 49 patrons killed in the gay nightclub massacre in Orlando will receive $350,000 from donations. That's according to an official with the One Orlando Fund. Authorities have identified a firefighter killed in a house explosion today as a Bronx battalion chief. Michael Fahey, a 17-year veteran, was a father of three. Firefighters were responding to reports of a gas leak at the home, and officials say they discovered a drug lab when they arrived on the scene. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Jill Schneider. This is Bloomberg. Charlie?
And we thank you. And again, recapping, the Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ continuing to advance. The S&P 500 index up 11 to 2157, a gain of 0.5%. I'm Charlie Pelletin. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Kathleen Hayes and Pim Fox on Bloomberg Radio.
Oil and oil prices. Who better to ask and understand the market and the participants but Fadel Gate? He is a senior analyst at Oppenheimer & Company, and he joins us now. Fadel, if you were in the room in Algeria where they were negotiating or not negotiating among the OPEC members, what do you think we would hear?
I will hear silence. There is nothing to talk about. It's they're trying to put a positive front on a situation that is not really entirely up to OPEC. OPEC is in a price war. They are not seeing eye to eye. The Saudis are not seeing what the Iranians are doing, what the Algerians are doing, what the Nigerians are doing, what the Venezuelans are doing. Saudi Arabia started the price war 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, it backfired because you know the other producers are matching what the Saudis are doing. Even Venezuela, which is for all practical purposes a bankrupt country, they're still having plans to increase production and by a significant amount, not by 60,000 barrel, but they are talking about 250,000 barrel in the next 3 years, and they are really putting bids out. So the Nigerians are the same. All these countries have to live with lower oil prices because oil prices will probably lower oil prices are here to stay. We're not going to see $100 oil any time soon. So things have changed, and OPEC has to learn how to live within means. That's what the industry has learned. That's what oil companies have learned, that you hope for the best. But yeah. Plan for the worst.
Yes, you do. Always in life for so many things. It's almost an aside, but not really, I guess, when you talk about living within their means. A story today that the Saudis are going to cut government workers' pay. I think they said some of their ministers are going to get 20% pay cuts. Now, I did not see in that particular news item how high those salaries were. Maybe they're very high, and a 20% pay cut isn't that much. But is that a sign that maybe the Saudis realize what's going on?
Oh, absolutely. The problem is when you have a country where, less than 5% of the population has 95% of the wealth, there is something wrong with this picture. We're talking about the income inequality. Welcome to the land of, hardship. 95% of the Saudis are living hand to mouth. Well, 5% of the population, obviously these are the emirs and all these guys. So there has to be some change. These people just cannot continue with the same failed business model. They have to learn. The oil industry cut capital spending by 25%, followed by another 25%. So the OPEC has to learn that. OPEC has to see what is going on in real life. They just cannot hope for $100 oil to appear. When oil prices were $110, they kept saying the fair price is $120. And when oil prices were $140, they said that this is the fair price. Now oil prices are $40, they say the fair price is $70. But where were they when oil prices were $110? Why didn't they bring or try to bring oil prices lower? So it's a one-way street, and it's obviously leading to a dead end. And we are going to see a dead end here because freezing production is not going to solve the current oversupply problem. That is something that nobody is focusing on. That is not a solution. The only solution is for oil, for OPEC to cut mm-hmm. production by at least 10%.
Wow.
And that's not going to happen because they don't trust each other. The Iranian and the Saudis, they have been in proxy fight for 20 years. Unfortunately, it didn't get the top billing because we had other wars that were more important to us.
Fadel, just get your thoughts here on the implications for what you're describing. Less money in Saudi Arabia means less money to other nations in the region that they either support or help or various groups that they support. Also, in that context, like Venezuela supplying oil to Cuba. I wonder if you could give us your thoughts.
Well, obviously, they will have to satisfy their domestic demand first. One of the reasons that these countries are under tremendous pressure, because basically they are welfare states supported by oil export revenue. Things are fine, or at least appear to be fine, when you have $100 oil. But all of a sudden, you have $40 oil. You're no longer looking at $100 oil. So they have to make the same, cuts, if you will, that any organization or company or government or individual will have to make, because now they will have to live within their means.
Yes, Fado.
Unfortunately, they are not prepared to do that.
Quick final question. Give me 5-10 seconds. How is oil going to stay in this like $45 to $50 a barrel range, or is it going lower?
It's not going to go lower. The upside potential is still significantly higher than the downside risk. We have to remember that oil prices are up 75% from their low,
okay,
and 10% down from their high. That is only in the last 12 months.
All right, Fadel Gay, thank you so much. From Oppenheimer & Co., I'm Kathleen Hayes along with Pim Fox, and this is Bloomberg.
Coming up on Taking Stock, he helps to manage more than $11 billion in assets. Tom Stringfellow, Chief Investment Officer, Frost Investment Advisors. He'll tell us what they're doing with their money next.